Will you take your Bibles, please, and turn to the Epistle of John, the first Epistle of John. We're continuing from where we left off last week. We're talking about the fellowship of saints, or what a fellowship. And we started out last Sunday by suggesting that for the model for fellowship, we go to the Godhead. We see the Father, the Son, and the Spirit working in concert. We see the expression at the baptism of our Lord, the Lord Jesus on earth being baptized, the heavens open, the Spirit comes, and God from heaven declares, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." The interest, the ministry that takes place is one of absolute fellowship. And as A.W. Tozer puts it, one member of the Godhead never works, but each works. And so it is, we have this model for fellowship in the Godhead. Time will not permit to say more than that. We look in the second aspect of the ministry. We're looking at the mystery of fellowship. There is something unique about this ministry of fellowship. And I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3 as we see what John has to say concerning fellowship. He proclaims, "And we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." By the way, whenever John writes about Christ, he always addresses him in the fullness of his deity, Jesus Christ. Only when he speaks of Jesus in historical form does he speak of Jesus. But whenever he speaks of Jesus in the present tense and the future tense, he speaks of him as Jesus Christ, his complete deity. The mystery of fellowship is seen in that John says, "I am writing to you what I have seen, what I've heard, that you might have fellowship with us. And indeed," he says, "our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son." We looked last week just briefly at the prerequisite for fellowship. If we are to have this deep, lasting, abiding, real fellowship, my friends, we must have the prerequisite, and that is eternal life. It begins with a union between us and Jesus Christ, who gives us that life which comes from God. It is a life that is experienced upon what we call the new birth. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son has not life. So the prerequisite we must have is life. I mentioned to you when I was on a television program with about four other ministers, we had nothing in common except we were people of the cloth. Because to speak with them about the things having to do with eternal life did not make any sense to them at all. Eternal life breaks down barriers. When Ananias went to visit St. Paul, or Saul as he was known at the time, he was afraid of the man. But when Jesus said to him, "He is a chosen vessel of mine," when he went to Ananias, he looked into his face and he said, "Brother, brother." In fact, last Sunday morning, after I mentioned not my experience with the man who thought I was the janitor, but my experience saying we used to call one another brothers, several people walked out and said, "Good morning, brother." "Good morning, brother." And so it is. Jesus made a statement about John the Baptist. He said, "Of all the men born of women, none is greater than John. But he who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John." Because the least in the kingdom of heaven spiritually born is greater than any physical born, a birth. There is something about eternal life, my friends, that gives us a sense of eternality one with another. We may not have met before, but But once we come into the relationship with one another, our eternal past is our eternal present and our eternal future. It's a wonderful, wonderful relationship. We want to go quickly now to the second part of last week's message. Not only do we have the prerequisite for fellowship, but we have what I call the prerogatives of fellowship. And here's the mystery of it all. John said, I am writing to you that you might have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father. Now, friends, if I come to you and say to you, if you meet with me this morning, you will meet with my mother. You will look at me and say, he's tired. Something has gone wrong. Perhaps he was out too late last night. But that's precisely what John says. John says, my friends, one of the prerogatives of fellowship is that when we come together, in our very midst is God himself. We cannot see him with the naked eyes, but faith will soar where reason cannot soar, and it will be reasonable faith, if you please. It's not anti-reason. But we will go in our fellowship. The mystery of fellowship is that when we come together, we share with God what God shares with us, and that is his own life. That which we have seen, which we have heard, of eternal life which was with the Father, this we declare to you, that you might have fellowship with us. And indeed, the word for fellowship there is the word which means to participate. When we come together, my friends, in a service like this, God comes and he shares with us that which he has given to us when first we placed our faith in Jesus Christ. So the life of God is the life that we share with God when we have fellowship with God. Eternal life, it is not based upon pigmentation. It is not based upon the privileges of life. It is not based upon the degrees we might have from our universities and college. It is not based upon the pedigree we come from. I've often said to some, if I had the privilege of being born anywhere, I would be born in Edinburgh, Scotland. No language like the Scottish language. Why? I don't know. I just find it fascinating. In my studies, I don't listen to a Scottish speaker speak. You hear almost heaven speaking. Well, that's taking it too far, but the language. But my friends, listen to what John says. That which we have seen and heard was not given to us by our parents, by the preacher, by the congregation you belong to. It is something that comes from God. In fact, the Greek word is it comes out from God. And we have the life that God has. This is why Jesus said, whoever lives and believes in me will never die, because we have eternal life. And God deigns to share that kind of life with you and with me. So, my dear friends, please listen carefully. You cannot choose to have fellowship. You can only choose not to have it. You have been born into a fellowship. We have the model in the Godhead. And John says, when we come together, God wants to share with us what God has given to us. The Westminster Confession puts it this way. God's life with all who are united with him by faith is the life that God shares with us. All the saints that are united to Jesus Christ as their head, all the saints that are united with Jesus Christ as their head by his Spirit and by faith have fellowship with him in all his graces, all his sufferings, his death, his resurrection. So that eternal life means that all that God gave to us in Jesus Christ is all we share together when we come to have fellowship one with another. Fellowship. My dear friends, this is why I say to you that fellowship is more than having coffee. What fellowship is this. Fellowship breaks down the barriers so that we can come with one another and say with an absolute confidence, my brother, my sister, let's glorify God together. That's what fellowship does. It's not physical. The physical fellowship comes out of this kind of fellowship, which makes the physical fellowship possible. Will you allow me, and I did not intend to say this, this past week was my joy to talk with someone in my office who placed his faith in Jesus Christ for the first time. And my friends, because of that, it breaks down every barrier so that I could look into the face of my brother and say, my brother, I could call him my friend before we became Christians. But when we placed our faith in Christ, we were united in Christ, which moved the hymn writer, we'll be singing it later on. In Christ there is no east or west, in him no south or north, but one great fellowship of love throughout the whole wide earth. We cannot choose to have fellowship. We can only choose not to have it, because we're born into a fellowship. All time will not allow me to go further. Let me take my third point. It is the miracle in fellowship. The miracle in fellowship. There's the model. There is the mystery. When we come together as God's people, God meets with his people. Thirdly, the miracle in fellowship, or the ministry of fellowship. I wanted to see, my friends, what John says to us in verse 7. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, note the verb, we have fellowship. Not will have, may have, can have, we have. If we walk in the light. So John says there is, first of all, an arrangement for fellowship. Several years ago, I lived in Tennessee for, I don't know how many weeks, how many months. I lived in Tennessee working at a camp down there. And the people in that part of the world have a very strange way of saying and doing things. Number one, they thought I was strange because I didn't eat grits. They thought that was, especially with my pigmentation, not to eat grits was something else. One day I said to one of the young chaps, what are you doing? And he said, I'm fixing to go to church. I said, what are you fixing? I'm fixing to go to church. My friends, that's humorous. But that's precisely what John says we have to do to have fellowship. To experience it with one another. We have to arrange. And how do we arrange for fellowship? If we walk in the light. Light in the Bible speaks of two symbolisms. Truth and purity. Truth and purity. If we walk in the light, that is why John says, if I say I hate my brother, don't lie against the truth. Because you cannot experience eternal life and hate your brother. John says, don't lie against the truth. If you hate your brother, you can't say you're walking in the light. John says, you're in darkness until now. So listen to what he says. Arranging for fellowship means this. That as I meet with God in communion, as he is in the light, in his light I see whatever might keep me from having fellowship with you. And in that communion, I confess to him whatever barriers there might be between me and my brother, between me and my sister, and he removes it by his blood. So that I am clear and clean and I can come to you without any inhibitions at all. I can come without any secret agendas to my brother, to my sister. Amos 3:3. Can two walk together unless they be in agreement? Can two walk together unless they be in agreement? Neither can you, my friends, walk in the light if you disagree with God's character. Neither can you walk in the truth if you disagree with God's word. If God says we have fellowship, and by the way, that little verb have is a very interesting verb in the Greek. The word is echo, E-C-H-O. And that word, my friends, means to possess what is necessary. So that as we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we possess what is necessary to have fellowship. We can't help it. It is a part of the package of fellowship with God. He prepares us. You see, my friends, just as we have in the model of the Godhead, the Father relating to the Son, and I don't understand that. And I say again, we believe in one God, not three. I can't understand it. It's a mystery. But in the very self-same way, my friends, as two people stood on this platform yesterday, and we joined the two people in one, the scripture says they are one. I don't understand it all. They will share together. So, my friends, in this fellowship, God makes us one. As we see what He's like in the light as we commune with Him, and He shows me what I am in His light, I want God to break down every barrier so that I can come to my brother and come to my sister and walk as the scripture says in Proverbs 4:18, the path of the just is as a shining light that shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. That, my friends, is arranging for fellowship. It means that I get with God if I know I'm going to meet with my brother. If I cannot look at the faces of anyone in this place and say, I can meet with you, I can pray with you, I can share with you, I need God's light to shine in the place where I'm walking in a lie. I need God's purity to purify me where I am corrupt in my walk. God does not call us, my friends, to live. In fact, let me put it this way. Have you not heard it? People will say, I am only a human, you know. Let me tell you what the scripture says, my friends. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So that in Christ, St. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It is not right to say I can't have fellowship with another Christian. It isn't right. It is not biblical. We must strive, my friends, in God's light to see whatever might be the problem. We must strive in the purity of God's character to make sure that we do not put anything in our hearts that would create a barrier between us and a part of the body of Jesus Christ. Arranging for fellowship. Well, lastly, the adventure in fellowship. The adventure in fellowship. And this is a wonderful, wonderful part of this text. If we walk in the light, as He's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Listen. And the blood of Christ keeps on cleansing us. Listen, friends, you want to know how the blood of Christ operates, you will never know. But if you want to know if it operates, have fellowship with God. Because the blood of Christ will cleanse whatever He shows us, no matter how corrupt the situation has been. I heard a lady singing it so many years ago, Miss Mary Morrison. And she sang the song, "The blood reaches deeper than the stains have gone." If we walk in the light, as He, God, is in the light. You see, my friends, the standard for fellowship is not you. The standard for fellowship is Him. And if we walk in the light as He's in the light, His blood will cleanse us as He shows us what needs to be cleansed. And He removes the barriers so that we can have fellowship one with another. The light makes us conscious of any sin that affects our fellowship with one another. And as we are conscious that we can do nothing of ourselves to care for the cleansing of our souls, we look to him who has done it all before at Calvary. And the scripture says, if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and he is the one who cleanses through that which he's did at Calvary. One of the best sellers of the past year, it's a book by the title, written by George Barna, Frog in the Kettle. And he's a marketing expert, and he writes this. This is American, and I guess it's not too far from us. We want to be loved. People want to be loved. We are driven to find acceptance from others, to belong to a group larger than we ourselves. Significant relationships are critical to our sense of self-esteem and purpose. May I repeat that last line? Significant relationships are critical to our sense of self-esteem and purpose. Let me respond. Fellowship in the body results in joy. Christ came to give believers joy. This kind of joy results from pure fellowship with God and with one another. This kind of fellowship in the body is possible because God has planned it that way. It is each Christian's responsibility to make fellowship in the body all that God wants it to be. John writes, my friends, and he said, if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship. And let me tell you, what the world needs to see, my friends, is a church that is not full of all kinds of conflicts and pastors running away with the secretaries. What the world needs is a church that is walking in purity, in fellowship. For when the church was first pure and exercising fellowship, it grew the fastest, as we read this morning from Acts chapter 2. Because that is what God blesses. Let us pray. Oh God, how we long for that kind of fellowship that is made in heaven and experienced on earth by the people of God. We cannot choose to have fellowship. We can choose not to. For we have been born again into a fellowship. And Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit will take these words and finish that work which he himself has started. May this congregation be known not for its problems, not for any of those negative things by which the church is being judged today. We do not want to present ourselves as better than any, but because we are conscious that if this is to be the kind of ministry it is to be, then we must obey what God has written for us to obey. Break down barriers this morning, Father, between husbands and wives so that they will have fellowship in the home. Between employer and an employee so that they might have fellowship in the workplace. In the church, between members, if there is such, so that we will have fellowship one with another. And God will trust us with great things when he does great things in us. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.